It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Alright, so, I'm really sick of the world. I hate the world, so. Sorry, world. Fuck you. Except there's one thing I want to talk about that I don't hate.
Okay, that's good.
Burger King tacos.
Oh.
Actually, we have to talk about a few things in this line, but Burger King tacos.
That's a thing?
That is a thing, as of, like, last week.
Huh.
And they only cost a dollar.
And they're okay?
I feel like that there's not a... The answer is larger than that. Short answer, yes. But, larger answer. So, Burger King's decided to get into the taco game. For reasons. I don't know. But they're not the first fast food burger joint to get into the taco game. Jack in the Box has had crispy tacos for ages. And they were cheap as hell. I would only get them when I was back on the West Coast, but it was like 99 cents for two of them. And they were, like, objectively the worst quality crunchy taco you could imagine. Like, some sort of corn tortilla, some sort of meat in there, literally a square of American cheese.
Really?
Yes. And maybe some lettuce, and then folded over so, like, the point of the square of the cheese still stuck out. And something had happened to them such that they were stuck together. Like, you were not opening them up again.
Mm.
It was like somebody had ironed them or something. I don't know what it was. But they were fine. Seasoned beef, shitty corn shell, American cheese. It's fine. These are better. And I will say, if you are going to buy a taco for a dollar from a place that has no business doing tacos, these are really good. I'd say I would take one of these over a normal crunchy taco from Taco Bell.
Hmm. Do you remember when Hardee's, was, and that's Carl's Jr. and elsewhere, got into the chicken business?
Yes, except they did actually used to be separate things.
The fried chicken business, do you remember that?
Apparently they were really good at it. Basically,
why'd they stop?
Because the merger happened.
Oh.
The merger happened, and they decided they were going to become one place. And what they decided they were going to go with was this idea of they were the manly burger place.
Yeah, that's right.
And the burgers weren't that good, and the marketing sucked enough that Trish refuses to eat there.
Hmm.
It's dumb as shit. Speaking of which, I think somebody associated with that is working in the federal government now, but whatever.
Did you ever have chicken from Hardee's?
No, but I heard very, very good things.
Actually, I did too, now that I think about it.
And supposedly, they have learned their lesson, and they're... I mean, it's still one company, obviously, but now Carl's Jr., because Carl's Jr. used to have a more interesting menu. It's still mostly burgers and stuff, but... And they're going to try and go back to that, and Hardee's is going to focus more on what it did, which was much more sort of comfort, fast food,
mm-hmm, yeah.
Midwestern kind of thing. So
sure,
it's trying
sure.
to get back to that, which I'm happy about.
Huh.
There is another place that I realized I should talk about, though. KFC is having a Cheetos thing right now.
I heard about that.
Yes, the commercial's hilarious.
A sandwich? With Cheetos in
couple of
in
thing,
it?
But yes.
Was that KFC?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's hilarious because the commercials are these kids, they're like on skateboards at a skate park, and they're like, wow, I'm hungry. I sure could go for some co-branded sandwich. And then it shows up, and they're like, seriously, the whole thing is about, oh, combines KFC and Cheetos. Co-branding is awesome. And just like, absolutely.
That's pretty good.
self-aware, detached, hipster, ironic. The sandwich is just what they already have called a crispy kernel sandwich, which is a boneless chicken breast, extra crispy boneless chicken breast on a bun with some pickles and some mayo and what they're calling Cheeto sauce and then actual Cheetos on it.
Cheeto sauce?
Yes.
What is that?
Well, this is the thing. So in addition to the sandwich,
yeah,
they also have available, you can get an order of popcorn chicken covered in Cheeto sauce.
Hmm.
And I have tried both twice. The sandwich is fine. I'm expecting more. It's a perfectly good sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll eat it. You give me one, I'll eat it. I expected more from it. I don't know what it is. It's fine. It's good.
Mm.
I like it. But I don't know. It's not wow. Like, whatever.
Because it kind of sounds like it should be wow.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
The crunch is nice, but it was already an extra crispy chicken breast. So I'm like, it's already really crunchy.
Sure.
And the Cheeto flavor doesn't come through real strong, but it's a good sandwich. It actually, I never had had the crispy kernel. And now I'm like, I may order those.
Oh, just
because you can also get those that have been drenched in their other sauces, like the Georgia Gold and stuff like that. And I love some of those. So.
Oh, okay, sure.
So I'm like, I may do this in the future. The popcorn chicken with the Cheeto sauce, a little different. I love the concept of Cheeto sauce.
yeah.
What this is, imagine whatever powder they coat Cheetos with, mixed with some sort of liquid fat, like melted butter.
Mm.
And it doesn't really emulsify.
Oh.
It's just a suspension of it in, like, liquid butter. And the good thing about this is it really soaks into the chicken and does give it that flavor.
Sure.
It's also, and this is coming from me, and I never say this about food in my life, I'm like, it's really too greasy.
Wow.
And especially by the time you get to the bottom of the container of it, it's just like, wow, these are literally dripping orange stuff suspended in kind of clear yellow stuff.
So when I eat something that's too greasy, it's kind of like when I eat anything that's rich. Like, mm-hmm. I can only eat a few
and I feel
kind of full. Is that what it's like
for
you too?
And I'm one of those people who are like, if you blot your pepperoni pizza, you're subhuman, and I don't care if you live or die. But even I'm like, this is a lot. So I'm not sure about that.
Mm.
But it's an interesting experience. I've had it a couple times. I may have it again tomorrow night. I'm not sure. Mm. Oh, in that case, I might just get the sandwich. The problem is I just really like KFC. And so this has been an excuse to go to KFC. And KFC is good.
We used to eat Kentucky Fried Chicken when I was a kid. Man, those were good days.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a vegetarian. And I still remember it quite fondly.
I'm all about that extra crispy. I can make the original recipe work because original recipe seems to be the majority winner with people, but I'm like, no, give me that extra crispy.
Oh, yeah, we always got extra crispy.
Love that stuff.
We got the potatoes and gravy and coleslaw. Now, the potatoes actually weren't very good, but with the gravy, they weren't so bad.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're surprisingly tasty for being obviously made out of silica gel or something.
Right. The whole experience was just
and the gravy is like, it's just brown and water.
Yeah, it's just a comforting experience.
And strangely, I mean, I don't really get it, but KFC, far and away, the best fast food coleslaw. Hands down.
Oh, we loved it.
It's amazingly good. I don't really understand how or why, but it is absolutely the best fast food coleslaw you'll ever get.
Yep.
It's very nice. A lot of their stuff. Their mac and cheese is completely flavorless.
And I think
their baked beans are too sweet.
I think they started doing
biscuits. The biscuits are also awesome.
I think they started doing biscuits when I was a kid. I don't think they did them
before. Wow, you were born before biscuits.
Kentucky Fried Chicken biscuits. Like Hardee's biscuits.
Come on, you were before. But
I think Hardee's biscuits were before
Hardee's
me.
Biscuits to me are like bullshit.
I like them.
They're like a little, I mean, I like, but I don't feel like they're biscuits. Those to me don't say biscuit. Like, honestly, my platonic image of a biscuit, and I'm not even talking quality. I'm just like, literally, the platonic ideal
the essence,
of biscuit is a KFC buttermilk biscuit.
They're pretty good.
That's what I think of as a biscuit.
They're quite good.
I still like the Hardee's ones, but they're like something else. They're a weird little unsweetened cake thing.
Oh, wow. Well,
it's just a different sort of texture, things like that. Well, and I'm always about the soft, doughy biscuit over the flaky one. But
yeah, we used to get the biscuits too. Man, they were so good.
KFC, yeah, biscuits.
We didn't call it KFC back then, but
no, I actually finally got the truth on that. That we talked about this, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I assumed it was just another urban legend. Because the source I got it from.
It was a problem with the state of Kentucky.
The state of Kentucky decided they were going to start making fucking money off of their name.
Yeah.
And so they copyrighted it, and they were like, you got to pay us to use the term Kentucky. And they went to court, and they won. So KFC's like, well, fuck you. We're just called Kufka now.
I mean, the hip kids did call it that.
Yeah.
But I wasn't one of the kids, so.
And the thing that most, and maybe this isn't true for you because you're you, but almost every American family thought they invented this and it was just an in-joke in their family, but in reality, almost every family called it Colonel Bucket.
Oh, I never heard that.
Yes. I thought my family invented it, and then I saw it on, like, TV shows and shit. Like, no, that's... That's one of those that, like, everybody kind of... I think it's like how everybody thinks they invented the phrase Taco Hell.
Yeah, right.
Like, that kind of thing, you know? Or how every five-year-old thinks they figured out how to say Booger King, like that, you know, that kind of thing.
Yep.
Kentucky
Fried Chicken.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Magic Talking Podcast. Only podcast in the world give you 24/7 coverage of all the Kardashians.
What?
In their house, on their private yachts, all the Kardashians all the time. Go to our website and click the link. Kardashians! All the time.
I thought you were going to say Kentucky Fried Chicken.
No.
Like we're constantly broadcasting from one. We're constantly talking about what Kentucky Fried Chicken is offering.
Nobody cares
specials.
About that. This is all about Kardashian. We're trying to keep up.
The Star Trek race of aliens? Is that what you're talking
that's
about?
That's the Kardashians. Oh. That was what I loved on The Soup. That's how Joel McHale always used to say it when he would talk about this. Like, keeping up with the Kardashians. Every time. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 436.
And
part one.
Yeah, I guess it's going to be a part one.
Well, you're going to be gone next week.
I know. I'm just tired of doing doubles. I'm tired.
I know, we've done a lot of them.
I'm tired. I'm so tired.
I see that.
Tired of playing the game. It's a friggin' shame.
What are you talking
I'm
about?
So tired. Oh, come on. Really?
I don't know.
Blazing Saddles?
No.
You've never seen Blazing Saddles?
I have. Many times, actually, but I don't remember
Madeline
very much anything about it.
Madeline Kahn has a song called I'm So Tired. That is one of the greatest things
I do not remember it.
Ever.
I remember things like
ever
I feel refreshed. I remember that.
Yes. No, she has a song. I'm so tired. Tired of being admired. Like it's.
Boy, I don't remember that
at
all.
It's amazing. That's her introduction is she's on stage and she's doing this song.
I do remember she sang a song.
Like,
I just don't remember it at all.
Hey there. Are you in show business? No. Then get your feet off the stage. I loved Madeline Kahn.
She did a good job in those movies, for sure.
She was the best thing about that second show they gave Bill Cosby. Wasn't that good? That was before we knew what we know. Speaking of which, that is weird, too. I recently watched an episode of Community, and it guest-starred Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Yeah, he's in several.
Yes, yeah, I figured, based on the role he's playing. But this was the first time he showed up. And there's a bit where he's outside and somebody goes to talk to him and he's wearing the sweater he wasn't before. And it's a total Cosby, like Heathcliff Huxtable sweater. Mm-hmm. And they actually pause. He's like, nice sweater. He's like, thanks. My dad gave it to me. And then they move on. And I'm like, that's funny. And also has not aged well. But it was funny. So I like Michael Jamal.
Yeah, he's really good. In the show, he's fantastic.
I've seen him in a few things. Not enough things, but he, I don't know if he doesn't have luck or he doesn't pick real well, but I see him in things where I'm like, he was great. That was dumb, though. Like,
oh yeah.
Like, very few of the things he's in I like, but I always like him in the things he's in. He's quite the actor.
He is very
All right, so we should explain how the show works because I'm not doing it next week. We have a hat. It's magic in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And folks like yourselves, cool people, mostly Azure Talon, though, write in to that, the hat, that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little comments, note cards, questions, topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on it that manifests physically within the hat itself. It's Kardashian servants, draw the note cards out at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show except the parts that aren't, which is most of it. And you need to write more. I'm telling you right now, the hat and I had to talk, except the hat doesn't talk. I just sensed it. There's not a lot in there. What's in there is a ton of Azure Talon and a little stew. We need more people. Help out.
Because nobody wants an Azure Talon stew.
Stew, you can very nicely done. Stu, you feel free to write more. Azure Talon, stay the fuck away. But we need stuff. So come on, help us out. I know you're out there. I can hear you breathing.
You should get that checked. Because that's not right.
I guess. Maybe it's me breathing. No, that can't be. Before we get into this week, I want to talk about a thing that I remembered later. I want to talk about from last week. My wife and I, producer and I, have stopped watching the new Twilight Zone. We're about halfway through.
I've heard that it doesn't really hold up.
It really doesn't hold up.
That's too bad. I mean, I only saw the first one, so.
The first one wasn't amazing. The first one was fine.
No, but it showed promise.
And it didn't have the problem that so much of it is having later. And what it mostly came down to, the reason we're stopping now, is the next episode in the series is tackling a topic that we absolutely do not trust them to handle at all well.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because here's the thing, and I've been trying to put this together, and here's what I can think of this.
Okay.
Twilight Zone, good show. Like, original Twilight Zone. Oh, yeah. Good show.
One of my favorites.
Couple of things about it. First of all, it is a good show. It's very, like, parable-ish. In that, if you really start and think about the stories, they're easy to start picking apart.
Oh, yeah.
But absolutely. That's fine, because they're very short-lived.
Yeah.
And they also have really broad messages.
Sure.
Be careful what you wish for. What goes around comes around. Sometimes coincidences are weird. They are universal truth kind of things, but they're very broad. This show, Peel is, I honestly think I would use the word slavishly sticking to all of that. Except he's also addressing very specific current political issues in a lot of places.
Okay.
Those don't mix. Because, again, it's not as universal. And if you're trying to prove a political point, having a story that really frays at the edges really fast is a problem. And it's not that they're wrong, but it just quickly... And the example I'm going to give is the last one we actually watched. Which, I mean, I guess it's hard to spoil the Twilight Zone. Like, guess what? The twist you think is going to happen is what happens. So there's an episode where John Cho is the main character, and he's a campaign manager.
Okay.
And he fucks up really bad, and his career is over. And then he finds this kid who's like 11, who makes cute YouTube videos, and like everybody suddenly loves this kid, and he gets this idea to get this kid elected president.
Okay.
And then he does. And then the kid turns out to be shitty because he's a kid, and like bad things happen, and no one will stop it, and then just like really Twilight Zone level bad things happen at the end and the end.
Okay.
And like midway through, I'm like, this makes no sense. And by the way, yes, we do address the fact that he legally can't be, but we address it really stupid and then we move on. But I'm just like, none of this makes any sense. Like, nobody's reactions seem realistic. None of this. And then suddenly I was like, oh, it's Trump.
Sure. Yeah.
The kid's Trump.
That's right.
And then I'm like, well, that was cute for like a 2-minute sketch, but it's dumb. I'm like, this is not, no, this is dumb. And that was it. Like,
yeah,
we hit police brutality in a very similar way. And that one was almost one of the better episodes. We also had ones that I'm just like, I don't, we had one where a weird guy shows up and he's weird and you don't know why. And by the way, our POV character is an Eskimo who now works with white people. And maybe that's weird because maybe she likes being an Eskimo. But none of that matters because it turns out that the weird guy was an alien and they're taking over the end. Like, none of it mattered. Like, it's just... And there are big names and they give these great performances signifying nothing or making these really horrible points. And that's the thing. The very next episode tackles toxic masculinity as like an actual like sickness that happens to these guys and gets like severe. And I'm like, I am not fucking watching that. I am not watching like what if zombies, but it was misogyny. I'm like, fuck you, Twilight Zone.
I saw an interview with Rod Serling when the Twilight Zone was just getting started, and he was saying in some pretty strong terms that he was not interested at all in making.
You mean when the reboot was getting started, not when the original Twilight Zone was getting
started. Rod Serling was talking about the original.
So when it was getting started. So this was like in the 50s.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Rod Serling was saying, I think it had just started, and I think it had some popularity already, but I can't remember.
He's dead, isn't he? I forget that.
I can't remember for sure. But anyway, they were asking him, talking to him about it. And one of the things he talked about was how he didn't want for it to be political.
Yeah.
Now, in later seasons, some of those universal principles were things like racism is bad.
Yeah.
Which at the time was pretty political.
Now is pretty political.
War is bad. No. Obviously, especially at that time.
Yeah.
Very political. Yeah. So he did break that rule sometimes. But only in those very, like you were saying, broad ways, like racism broadly is bad.
Yeah.
War broadly is bad. Not this war is bad or whatever. But most of the time, it's like you say, they were just, like you said, parables or fables.
Yeah.
And or just plain weird. And that's kind of how he wanted it. And he didn't really stray away from that very often. Maybe when he was talking about it in the interview, he said it in the same way. For the same reasons a lot of people of his time did, and that was, that's none of our business. It's kind of like religion, although the Twilight Zone things went religious sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of celebrities back then, I saw an interview with Bob Newhart and with Carol Burnett, and they said the same thing about politics. But you can imagine them saying the same thing about religion, and that is, this is people's personal choice. I don't want to offend anybody's personal convictions. And we can be funny without going there, making fun of religion or making fun of politics. And so that's just how they were. Not a lot of people, not everybody, obviously, but a lot of entertainers were like that. And I guess Rod Serling was sort of like that. I don't know. Of course, today, that's right out the window. I mean,
and don't get me wrong. I am fine with that. And pretty much everything that the show has espoused is pretty much on my political side. And I'm fine with putting your politics in thing and getting real specific and all that. It doesn't work in this formula.
Yeah, yeah.
Twilight Zone are ghost stories. They are not pointed social commentary.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Star Trek was for, right?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. And like I said, these are my musings. I feel like I still haven't crystallized the idea. I'm not sure what I've said is correct, but I don't like them.
Yeah.
I don't like them.
I hear what you're saying.
And I'm still sort of processing that. But like Trish and I, independently, like we're both like we are not watching that next episode, and we're like, you know what? I think I'm done. She's like, yeah, I think I am too. So. Sorry, Jordan Peele, I still think you're fucking amazing. I just came to the realization today when talking to somebody, I have to give serious consideration to the idea that Get Out might be my favorite movie. Like, capital F, favorite
wow.
movie. The movie's fucking amazing.
It's pretty good.
We'll have to see. But, like, yeah, I mean, I love your stuff. I still haven't seen Us, and I still really want to, and I'm still very excited for that. But, yeah, this isn't working for me. So how was your week?
Well, I want to ask you about something that's related in a way.
All right.
So I don't want to get specific about who specifically we're talking about because it's irrelevant. But it's a comedian.
This is it Keith Stanfield?
No, this is a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently saw them being criticized for the content of their comedy,
rather than the color of their skin. Wait. All right.
And the criticism, they were even being called alt-right because of the kind of comedy they were doing.
Okay.
I watched this comedy and I could not disagree more. This person's not alt-right, but they're not shying away from using certain language, from making fun of certain groups, although they make fun of other groups too, so I don't see how. Anyway, so now
this is going to be really hard.
My question to you, well, the reason I'm being vague about it is because there's a specific question I want to ask, and I don't want it to be distracted by anything else. So what I see is this person doing comedy that a lot of people won't necessarily like. I don't necessarily like. But I can see that they think they're just doing comedy, right? They're not.
Yep.
They think they're just making fun of this and making fun of that. To them, it's just being transgressive.
Yep.
I do not perceive this person as being, say, racist, and they're certainly not white nationalist, as far as I can tell, or alt-right or anything. They just are okay telling these jokes, and the people who hear them telling these jokes are categorizing them this way, I think, improper.
All right, that is a terrible question.
Now, my question is, are we in a place now where it really is inappropriate to do certain types of humor? Like, it's just off limits, out of bounds?
No. What we are is we are in a place where things people find personally offensive, they believe to be universally offensive.
Okay.
Now,
let me ask you this. Am I wrong in thinking that, I don't know, 10, maybe 15 years ago, if this was happening, people would just go, yeah, I don't like that, and just ignore it, instead of making a big deal out of it?
I think you'd have to go back a little bit further. I think the internet has helped this. A world where we can communicate globally, specifically, and instantly, and more importantly, a world where whatever shit we said in front of the TV when we were watching it, we can now say to millions of people at once, has changed things.
But everything you just said makes me think it would be even easier just to say, yeah, that's that person, and forget about it. Why does it seem so much more important now that what Grandpa said while he was watching a certain TV show has gone viral, and now we think this Grandpa is the worst person on the planet? Well, why can't we just say, it's just a Grandpa saying stuff. We know how Grandpas sometimes are, and forget about it.
Two things. As much as we all consciously are aware of it, people both think that someone on the internet that went viral means they are larger than they would necessarily be. Somebody who got a million hits on their YouTube video talking shit about something is somehow a bigger deal, even though they're just a person that said some shit and they happen to do it in front of a camera. Even if they have no other standing, they just put it on YouTube and people clicked on it. And maybe they clicked on it out of outrage, or maybe they clicked on it because they agree with it. But suddenly that's important, because in our current socioeconomic climate, it's literally true. They can get money from that. They can get influence from that. They can get public support from that. But the other thing is, we also think that of ourselves. Now, if somebody says some shit I don't like, I think I'm important enough because I have X number of followers that I really need to put my two cents in because they want to hear.
I see.
Let me ask you something. It's fine to not name it. Is this individual possibly a white male?
No.
Interesting.
Nope.
That is very interesting, because most of the comedians I find, well, up to this point, all of the comedians I find, who that's their deal is nothing should be off limits and I'm being transgressive, are all white men.
This person is white.
Okay.
So there's that.
Yeah.
But they're not alt-right. I mean, people who are saying that really aren't paying attention. Now,
no, alt-right's a buzzword.
Do I think this person should be doing these things? I wouldn't. But again, I come from an era where you just turn it off or change the channel or you don't listen. It's that simple. If it, the way people are bringing it back, and this was said often when I was growing up, the in America, the answer to bad speech is good speech. You know, it's more speech that's good to drown out the bad. You don't censor the bad. And you don't have to censor the bad because there are so many voices that are drowned out, and it's a shrinking group of people, and so on and so forth. And as far as I can tell, those things are still true in terms of how many people it is and how influential they are, really. But I think it's really, like you were saying just a second ago, or implying, I think it really freaks people out that kind of person has the size of audience that they end up getting.
And that combined with the fact that you also have an audience now, if you're online.
Yeah.
Not only is, oh, this is a bigger threat than it would have been before, but also I am stronger, than I am a bigger deal than I was before to fight it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, we have the president of the United States wants to deport people because they don't agree with his policies.
Yeah, I mean, he's a troll.
And is
sure.
open about that.
Yeah, he's...
So, he's we're in a different world. Like,
he's
it's,
the king of the trolls, really.
But it's also... this shit does matter now. It shouldn't, but it does. People are making money via hate speech that in many cases they may not even believe, but it gives them attention.
Well, I mean, that's part of the larger clickbait problem. And
yes, but
like,
the point is, it is a real thing. It does matter now. It shouldn't matter, and the way to make it stop mattering is for us all to not care.
Well, it's,
but it does matter.
It's writ large the thing that you and I grew up knowing, which is don't feed the trolls.
Yeah.
But people do.
Yeah.
And the worst that happened in our experience growing up was you had a perfectly nice forum where everybody was friendly and the whole thing got shut down by one or two trolls because nobody could resist feeding them. Now you've got basically a troll as president and the whole country's getting shut down, just like those forums used to. And it doesn't matter what you or I say about, hey, just don't go there. The all the power that this person has, you're giving them. But it's like you said, they get clicks, they make money.
Well, and I used to.
Their voices are heard.
Did you watch me on Twitter in the first couple of years of this presidency? I was tweeting constantly, trying to get the word out. I'm like, look at this shit. This is insane. I eventually couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
But I was constantly yelling on Twitter about how fucked up this was, and how we still need to do it. The microcosm version of that is I sent you an article not long ago, several people, and I was like, this is stuff we need to pay attention to and we need to know. And this is the same thing here. People are like, this person is bad and you need to know it so that everybody can stop paying attention to them. That's the thing.
Yeah, right.
Pay attention to this part, because otherwise you're just going to think they're fun, and they're not.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's also really hard to hold those morals and those principles with people that you so vehemently disagree with. Kyle Kinane did a pretty funny sketch on an album a couple back that was the idea that at some point there was going to be a mass shooting of a group that everyone hated, and it was going to be weird. And so he did like a little fake thing where like there was a mass shooting at the Westboro Baptist Church, and everybody's like, that's terrible. Oh my God. Well, I mean, I didn't say we needed to get rid of all guns. What did they use? The AR-50. Oh, that's not, was that the one that I said? Oh no, I didn't. Well, damn, karma's a bitch, huh? Like, it's that kind of thing. Like, it's very hard. I have a hard time being sad when I see the civil rights taken away from people that I just absolutely fucking hate. And I know I shouldn't, and I work on it, and I try and defend such things. And I have this in the same way that I try and be rational, and the one in a billion times when the president does something that is actually productive, I try and credit that. It's very rare, which makes it harder, because it's so easy to go on autopilot. Oh, he did something? I'm sure it's bad. And the thing is, I'm right. Statistically speaking, I'm right all the time. In actuality, every once in a while, there's something that's not horrible, or even accidentally, or conveniently, or opportunistically positive.
Sure.
So these are the things you got to watch out for. And I have talked many times about comedians and comedy shows and things like this that I really don't like, and that I work really hard to not try and say they shouldn't have that. That should be gone away. I stand very strongly by the Karl Popper premise of you must tolerate everything except intolerance. And so if we're propagating hate speech and inciting intolerance, then I'm like, fuck off. But outside of that, you know, Anthony Jeselnik deserves to have whatever career he's going to have. Jim Norton can keep selling out shows. I know he's very popular. Louis C.K. can do all the comedy he wants. And if people want to pay money to go see it, good for him. It makes me sad if that happens. Yeah. I'm sure as fuck not going to do it. But that's what it is. Dave Chappelle, who is incredibly funny, has been saying some shit recently that I really don't like. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to listen to him. He can go and do it. Everybody else can listen to him. And that is absolutely fine. I'm choosing not to. Today on the radio, I was listening to a comedy channel, and it was Natasha Leggero, who I like. And it must have been really old, because what she said was, she basically talked about how she was never going to get pregnant, which is funny because she has a kid now.
Oh.
And then she got really mad about, I believe she said, can you believe there are still 3 states in this country where it's really hard to get an abortion? And I was like, nope, too real, too old. I hate that I missed that when that was the problem. And I had to change the channel. And yeah, some of my favorite comedians say things that I'm not into. When we went and saw Michelle Wolf, some of her material I was not that into. Most of it was hilarious. I still am glad I went. Some things I'm like, no, not me. But
well, I wanted to talk to you about it because you think about comedy as an art form and as a business, I think, far more than I do. And I just thought, this is weird to me. I mean,
is this Roseanne? Because I'm going to talk about Roseanne.
No.
Okay.
It was weird to me because,
You know, Roseanne's going on tour.
No.
With Andrew Dice Clay.
Nope, I didn't know that.
I believe they're literally calling it Make America Laugh Again.
Okay.
And this is riling people up. just like the other side got riled up when she lost her show. And everybody's like, no, this shouldn't be right. It's freedom. It's censorship. None of this shit is censorship, people. If ABC doesn't want her to have a show because they think it makes them look bad PR-wise, which it did, they fire her. It's not because their moral high ground. It's fucking Disney. They don't have moral concerns.
Well, and it's not.
They have PR concerns.
It's also not the government, so.
Yeah, they can do whatever the fuck they want.
It's a private
company. Also, they did it because it would be bad for business to keep her, and they weren't wrong.
That's correct.
She's touring now because they think they can make money off of it. And if they're wrong, that'll be hilarious if they just go bankrupt touring because fuck both of them. But if they're not and people buy it, people bought it. If people want to buy a ticket to that, then they want to buy a ticket to that. This country is a lot more fucked up and a lot more racist than I realized a few years ago. And I hate that, and I would love to work to change that, but I still have to accept that as the reality.
See, I'm still not sure that that's true. Well, or maybe, I don't know. You and I might have been at a different level of knowing
how racist
the country was, but I hear... Sometimes
some of it is the Trump stuff, but some of it is that in my attempts to educate myself, I have learned of a lot more institutionalized issues.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Well, and this is the problem we run into now. The ability for the minority to be very, very vocal is very strong. So it's really hard to tell what your group is. Before the 2016 election, I thought basically everybody knew Trump was horrible. That was not true. I clearly did not understand the demographic makeup of this nation. Like, I genuinely thought that was impossible. And there's a lot of ways. Like, the fact that it's not a slam dunk after all the stuff he has done and the shit that he's done that is so much worse than we imagined, that it's still not a given that he's not going to get reelected.
Right, but there's a lot of things involved with that that have to do with how people perceive the Democrats, with
Absolutely.
The things that are going on with the Democrats, with how people perceive things like the whole whatever they were saying about Ilhan Omar, send her home or...
Yeah.
Like, I can guarantee you that there's a significant number of people that had no idea what they were saying, or even why, or what it meant, or why it's terrible.
Yeah.
Because there's just this weird thing going on right now in the United States where half the people easily on either side making noise and saying terrible things don't even know what they're saying. It's all just part of the narrative that
here's
they're getting
the
swept,
thing,
up, swept up in.
It doesn't matter whether or not they know. Racism is not about intent.
No, I get that. But
so those fuckers are racist. They might be racist because they're stupid, but they're still racist.
I get that. That's, but I'm just saying it's...
Nobody gets to be confused, and so they let Trump be president. At this point, flesh-eating virus should be a more viable candidate. The Democrats are incredibly fucked up, and it is nothing compared to Donald fucking Trump.
I understand.
There is nothing in the world short of Vladimir Putin, Duterte, or fucking Kim Jong-un himself that should have anyone voting for Donald Trump unless they are really so much more racist and classist and just shittier, more narrow-minded people than I ever gave them credit for as a nation.
Well, I think there's plenty of room for people that don't fit into the categories you were just saying. I'm just, look, what about the person... I know what you're going to say because I feel like this person is at best misguided because they're not paying attention or what. But I mean, there are people who just walk in and they don't really pay attention to the news. They don't pay attention to anything. They just walk in. They mark the straight ticket
Republican
and leave. Democrats too. So I mean, it's just. There are an amazing number of people that don't even know what we're talking about. Like, they vote for somebody, and then they have to defend it because they did it. And so they won't even listen to what someone has said. They won't listen to anything. Now, is that really bad and stupid and all the stuff? Sure.
And racist and misogynist and culpable.
A culpable.
Absolutely. When your actions create that thing, I'm sorry, that's what you are. And you can be racist out of ignorance. Most people are. It's still there. It's still on them. They are still culpable and prejudiced.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just, it just feels like there's more nuance to this than is being said, at least from my perception of it. And I guess I'm not very good at expressing where I think that is or why I think that is.
I mean, the nuance only needs to come up if I say something like those people should not be allowed to vote or those people should be killed. What I'm saying is this country is full of a lot more racist, misogynist, ignorant people out there who should absolutely be ashamed of themselves than I was aware of. Like, a way larger. This country is less good significantly than I thought it was. And I never thought it was that good. Because also at this point, you have to work really hard to not have an idea of what's going on.
That seems true.
You have to be a shut-in. But for some reason, a shut-in who votes.
Well, but it's... One problem is...
I can't handle it anymore. I can't. They should be ashamed of themselves. It's reprehensible.
Okay.
There's an idiot, narcissist, racist, rapist in the White House. All of these things are, with the exception of the rape, which is almost certainly true, and everything else is just straight up factual. And not only are people okay with that, a lot of them think it's awesome.
Well,
as a country.
Okay, but first of all, there are a lot of people that don't believe those things are true.
And they're wrong.
Maybe so, but how do they know they're wrong? They've got all this information telling them that they're right. They don't trust the sources that are telling them they're wrong. You can say, well, I have this proof. They won't believe it. They'll think you made it up. Is that dumb?
Yes.
Maybe. But it is actually a lot harder to know what the truth is today than it used to be.
Absolutely.
It's hard for me to know what the truth
is. And if you look at Donald Trump and listen to him speak ever, it is not hard at all. You cannot hear that man have any conversation and think he's a decent person unless there's something wrong in your head. I'm not even saying policies. I'm not even saying ideologies. I'm saying he is one of the worst human beings I've ever witnessed.
I'm not disagreeing with that for sure.
Well, you know what? It's sad that we live in a society where they can't figure it out or things are difficult. But I'm not giving them the way off anymore. And here's the thing. Again, this is me saying they suck. And do they suck because of society and terrible things that have been done to them and they are a victim of? Yes. But they are a victim of having been turned into people that fucking suck.
Okay. Do you think that there's no way they can be reasoned with?
No, possibly. But the point is, I'm not saying I'm leaving the country because it's gone. I'm saying the country sucks pretty bad. Mm. It's not just that we have an asshole in the White House. The country sucks pretty bad right now. Like, the people of this nation suck way more than I realized. Can they get better? Is it their fault? These are questions. Doesn't change that concept.
I'm just not prepared to say that.
You're never prepared to say anybody sucks. I don't know why this is new. Can you say it? Can you say Donald Trump sucks? He's a horrible person?
Yes.
Can you say that?
Well, yeah,
do it. I've never heard you say it.
Oh.
I've never heard you say that.
Say
it right now. Say it.
Donald Trump is a horrible person.
All right. There we go.
And I believe I did say, when he was elected, that I was very disappointed
in
the people of Iowa who did that.
Yeah, I've gone way past disappointed.
But there are a lot of systems in place. The two-party system is a mess. The media has been a mess for a long time, far before Trump ever came along. And that's another thing, is a lot of the problems that people are noticing and complaining about now have been around for a very long time, and they're only just noticing them, or maybe they're only just caring about them. And it And I see how easy it is for people to get sort of lost in all that mess. And as a result, make decisions that are very bad decisions that they afterwards, I think, know are bad decisions. But then what are they going to do? They could admit they were bad, of course. But, you know, a lot of people, the tendency is not to do that. It's to double down, or it's to try to find some way to feel better about it. And it gets super complicated, which I'm not letting anyone off the hook.
Well, I mean, if that's what you think is happening, then he's totally not going to win in 2020. And that'll be great. Because those people will be in the voting booth in private and can do what they want.
What I think, the only way he can win is the same way he won the first time. And that's if people are, A, convinced that there's only two parties and you can only vote for one of the two, which people get convinced of, but that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And if that happens, that's part of it. But then the second part is, if for some reason a significant portion of the country are scared, I don't know, the Democrats are going to take away their insurance company or whatever, I don't know. In other words, he won because people were convinced they had to vote for one of those two people and they didn't want to vote for Hillary. That's why he won.
I would agree with that to a degree.
And I think that's the only way he can win again. So it's, once again, I think it's the Democrats' thing to lose. I think people are going to be convinced they have to vote either for whoever the Democrat is or Trump, or not vote at all. I think a lot of people will not vote. But whoever does show up, you know, it's going to be, can the Democrats get their person elected? But also there's a lot of people in the middle who don't want to vote for Trump, but they don't want, say, they like their insurance company, for example.
You and I have discussed in the past this, and I know how much you hate the two-party system more than I do, although I absolutely agree with you. It is a terrible thing, and we need to get out of it. If you end up voting, and I mean, I may never know, if you end up not voting for the Democratic candidate, I will genuinely and sincerely be angry with you, and that hurt may not ever go away depending on how things go.
I understand.
Because I guarantee you that's not happening. Like, I firmly believe any alternative to him is preferable.
Well, no. You don't think anyone is preferable. You think the Democrat alternative is preferable.
I think my cat's alternative is preferable.
That's what I'm trying to say, though. See, is I what you just said, I pretty much already knew that. And it bothers me because I will do what I always do.
I know.
And I think everyone
last time you
do,
didn't vote at all.
That's right. Well, not for president. I voted in all the other
stuff. Yeah.
But I will do what I always do, what I think everyone should do, and vote my conscience. And if I cannot in good conscience vote for the Democrat, I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to feel like by not voting for the Democrat, I'm somehow responsible for a Republican winning, because I think that's absurd.
Well, but you're no more responsible than any other individual voter.
I guess. But I, you know, I am very uncomfortable with the fact that suddenly who I vote for is more important than it ever was before in my life. Before, whoever I voted for was my own business, and nobody cared. And now, you know, as soon as Trump won and I started to hear what people were saying about it, I immediately became afraid that I was going to start losing friends because I didn't vote for Hillary. And that frightened me because I thought that shouldn't happen. That's just not something that should happen.
Yeah, no, and I'm okay with the fact that you didn't vote for Hillary. I mean, I was very disappointed at the time, but I am okay with it because we were still working in theoreticals. I mean, I don't... And the problem is I made a similar argument with W, and now I realize that was... But I mean, like, just... If there was a groundswell tomorrow and a third party candidate, if one of these billionaires looked like they had a shot of winning, I would vote for them in a second. I would vote for them in an absolute second.
So, but because your thinking is you're gonna vote for whoever can beat
Trump. I'm going to vote for the person most likely to beat Trump because I am confident that no candidate that can garner any decent amount of support will be remotely as bad as him. And that he is dangerously bad, could destroy the world bad. He literally has dick measuring contests with Kim Jong-un, and he's an idiot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I understand your perspective, and that is what your conscience leads you to do. And everybody should vote according to what their conscience dictates. Because that's the point.
You know, the weird thing? When you say that, it reminds me of Ted Cruz at the RNC. And it's weird that I think back on that guy with admiration.
Admiration? Why?
Because then he was talking his conscience.
Yeah.
And now he can't kiss the president's butt fast enough. I'm amazed at the naked ambition and lack of humanity in so many of the power players in Congress right now.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Which, for the record, includes Pelosi. I am so pissed off at Nancy Pelosi these days.
I don't know.
But I just...
Anybody knows what's going to happen in the next election.
I desperately... I'll put it to you this way. I want to speak in stronger terms, but the kind of terms I would speak in are, like, federal offenses.
Okay.
But
don't you think the whole population, or most of it, is feeling the same way that we are and thinking, this is ridiculous. There's nowhere to turn here.
I don't know. What I do know is a quarter of the population literally voted for him. And it would be awesome if they learned their lesson.
Not a quarter of the population. A quarter of the electorate. Same difference.
Sorry, a quarter of the eligible voters. Yeah. Based on voter turnout and the percentage that he got. If a whole bunch of, like, there is a part of me that hopes a whole bunch of people are like, oh, Jesus Christ, this is fucked up. And then don't this next time. And so that'll be telling. But the thing is, it would have been impossible for me to believe because it wasn't like it was a secret then. The campaign kicked off by talking about how the Mexicans were all just the rapists and the drug dealers. That was his opening speech.
A lot of people didn't believe that that's what he meant.
Doubled down every time, and he clearly has meant it now. So that's the thing, that there could be a great redemption story in 2020.
Well, here's the good news. He got in with, like you said, 25, 26%.
Yeah.
That's actually low.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
really?
Barack Obama got in with 28.
Yeah.
And I think before that it was 27. I mean, that's pretty low.
Absolutely.
If a Democrat can't beat that, or anyone else for that matter, that, I mean, just like the last election. I mean,
yes.
But she also got more in the popular vote. So, I mean, that's all. That's a whole other thing.
And don't get me wrong. I believe there was some definite institutional misogyny in there, too. Which, again, big problem. This country is a lot more racist and a lot more misogynist than I gave it credit for.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
That's all I'm really saying. I mean,
that's something.
The other, we strayed off a little bit into the who you vote for thing.
Yeah.
But that is all I'm saying. Sure. This country is significantly more racist and more misogynist than I realized in 2015.
That's something Jazz and I talked about a lot. Even when it looked like Hillary was going to win, we still went back and forth about it. Just doesn't seem like this country is willing to vote for a woman.
Yeah.
To us.
And that's what it seems to a lot of it have been.
I mean, you know, even though she was polling well, we saw other signs. It's like, I'd be really surprised. I mean.
And as somebody who was really behind Hillary by the end, she was a healthy mix of some really great things and some really horrible things, I will admit. And I think there was this constant feeling with me and with others that if she could finally get that there was so much shit that she did because she felt she had to play the game, essentially. And if she could finally make it to the top, then she could actually do what she wanted to. And now I think some of that was delusional because you know, she's definitely an affluent white woman. Like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it still would have been
better,
a thousand times better.
There's no question about that. I think that it's really hard to know where the country is, because to know that, you have to trust people who supposedly have their hand on the pulse telling you this is where America's at. And almost all of them are lying.
Yeah,
exaggerating.
No, the America that I believed was there, it couldn't have happened.
I understand that.
So it's definitely not that America. And again, I have learned a lot of things since then about shit that happened before Trump and will continue after Trump, I'm sure. A lot of shitty things that have been uncovered. But I think fucking Aziz Ansari, one of the first people to host Saturday Night Live after the election, maybe the first, did his whole thing about how there were a bunch of people that he called the little KKK, lowercase KKK, that, like, were racist but wouldn't talk about it because it wasn't okay. And Donald Trump has now, like, legitimized it. And so all these people were sitting there just quietly being racist. And now they're like, hey, yeah, I feel like that too. And we're all like, go back into hiding. And I think that's the thing. Like, there's a lot of overt, active racism that I was not aware of. And part of it was my privileged nature. But I think part of it was that we had shamed them into hiding.
Well,
and now they feel proud again.
I think some of that has happened, but I'll say this. I do not see more sexism, racism online than I used to.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot. Maybe nobody was paying attention to it. I used to talk to Jazz about it all the time. I said, man, I cannot believe all the racist stuff that's in these comment section or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that's too bad.
No, and a lot. I have learned a lot recently. Well, and we all have. I mean, the Me Too movement was not because of Trump. I mean, he's definitely tied in there. 17, I believe, is the last count of credible accusations against him, including a 13-year-old girl. But I have learned a lot in the last few years of what it's like to be a woman online and what it's like to be a woman in life. And, yeah, there's some horrific shit out there all the time. We're out of time, people. We are over time. Sorry, this got a little intense here. Like I said, I'm very tired, and the world sucks right now. So,
well, you and
I have not intended.
You and I never get to talk about this stuff, and it's not good stuff to talk about in an email or something. So,
I don't like talking about it in general. That's part of the problem.
Yeah, but I like to talk to you about it.
Yeah, but I don't like talking about it even to you, because it just makes me angry.
Well, I get something out of it.
Yeah,
so.
And I'm happy for that. I'm glad you got something out of it. It just makes me extra angry and happy. But it's a pressure cooker thing. Like, eventually I'm just like, which is why I'm really scared to go on a family vacation next week. Because, yeah, I don't know what the fuck's going
to come. But I feel like I need to know what you think about things. Because
I feel like I haven't been... I feel like I've been pretty obvious.
No, not entirely.
Did I say anything tonight that surprised you?
They didn't have to surprise me to inform me.
All right. I would think everything you've heard tonight is old news, but...
Not really.
All right.
But it doesn't matter. I care about you, and I care about what you're going through and thinking and feeling, and there's only so many times where you can say things like, you know, I hate the world right now, and then we go on and do the podcast and talk about other things, where I'm like, I would really like him to talk more about this, even if everything he says is stuff I already know, because I just like to know how you are. I like to know what you're thinking. It doesn't matter if it surprises me or if it's old news.
I mean,
just like to know where you're at.
Children are dying for seeking asylum. Unarmed black people are being shot for no reason. And rapists are in power. And that is 90% of the world right now, in my mind.
Yeah, it seems...
So, I mean, it's...
Like a lot, anyway.
And I like to inform you, but... I hate talking about it. Like,
I
now feel significantly sadder and angrier than when we start.
I know.
So I appreciate your sentiment, and I do. We need to make that connection, but you understand that I try and piece it out slowly because otherwise I will lose my shit.
I do understand.
All right. So, if you'd like to lose your shit, write it on the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Also, write things into the email, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Hopefully, things not about politics, because nobody wants this. and we'll talk to you in just a few minutes, but for you, it'll be a week.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.